Hello, hello, and welcome back to our Finding Better podcast. My name is John Suzuki, and I am your host. And this is where we share real life experiences and wisdom. How's that? Which means everybody that I have on here has been there and done that in terms of whatever it is we're talking about. And the idea is to share those experiences and wisdom, so that you might be able to learn from those things and apply some of that stuff to your own life. And it's just an amazing place. I have a really, really special guest with me today. His name is Ken Collins, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to you. Ken and I have worked together since 1986. I don't know if you guys can count that high or do that kind of complicated math. But it's been a long, long time, almost 40 years we've known each other. And today's episode is, we want to share. Both Ken and I are quote unquote retired. We've never been busier in our lives, but we are retired from making money. And there's a lot that we've learned that we look back and we kind of go, you know what? We could have lived better lives while we were living our lives. And maybe we didn't have to wait until we were retired to do it. And so we wanted to share some of our thoughts, so that, just the idea of being able to live a better life now and not feeling like you have to wait until some distant future time when you have time. Do it now. Do it now. So, Ken, welcome to Finding Better. I am so happy to be doing this because I think folks can learn so much from your experience and what we've been through together. So, who are you? Let folks know who you are and a little bit about your story.
Well, thanks for the first for the invitation. It's always a delight to talk with you. And I am a little cautious when anybody associates me with anything close to wisdom. So
Yeah, me too.
maybe this conversation will be somewhat different. But in short, as John mentioned, we've been together a long time. We came from slightly different backgrounds to get to where we work, both worked in the high tech industry. I'm a kid of the West Coast and grew up adoring the oceans. I went to school, went to university to be a marine biologist, exited as a marine biologist and a geologist, and then ended up at IBM after that. And after a long career, I'm back to being a marine biologist, which is, as John said, in theory, I'm retired, meaning I don't get a paycheck, but in reality, I'm busier than ever. And I
Doing
spend a
what you
lot of
want to
time, yeah. And I spend a lot of time thinking about the oceans and as much time as I can in it.
And so you and I both spent our entire careers of close to 40 years in high tech. And high tech, for those of you who might not know, is pretty stressful. It's pretty intense. And you're always changing, you're always having to reinvent yourself. And it's really, really easy to get caught up in the kind of hamster wheel, if you will, where the work never ends and the time that you have to spend never ends. And we spent our entire careers in that world. So Ken, just a little bit about what you're doing in your retirement right now. Right behind you, you've got a picture of a starfish. And I think of and just so that I can just let folks know, your passion and your joy is in marine biology. And you're doing that almost full time now. Like you said, you're not being paid. You don't have to be paid, but you're spending your whole life now working on that stuff that you love. So what did you my impression, at least with me, is that you would get so caught up in the work that we do, and a lot of folks that are listening are far, far away from retiring. Some aren't even close, and yet at the same time, we're talking about what we love to do in our retirement. So yeah, so help folks understand what your journey and things that you might have done differently.
I think you nailed the work aspect of it really well. And I think when you're new in a career, you're excited about it. And the hamster wheel, if you will, of always being busy, 60-hour weeks, going to fly to a different place, talk to a different place, that's all very exciting. And you're learning the basics of the transactional environment you're in. And I think it was about 10 or 15 years in that I It was a kind of series of small events, going to the beach and going on vacation. And the thing stuck in my mind is watching 6-year-old kids at the beach. And I sat there and you're watching, and you're realize that everybody I've ever met, when you're 6, 8, something like that, you love to go to the beach and just dig holes, find things. And so much joy and so much curiosity and the questions I would get. Right? So that kind of stuck in my mind and said, am I missing something? And I remember, because I remember when I was a kid, how much I just adored that, being really curious, how does this work? What's happened? What if this happened? Hey, I found a clam. And it doesn't have to be the beach. It could be your backyard. It could be a creek nearby. It could be a park, whatever. And so I said, am I missing that kind of joy and curiosity? And I was just kind of thinking about that a little bit. I had an opportunity a couple months later. I met some old friends who are still in academia, still work in biology. And I just asked how things were going, if they ever needed a hand. And it turns out that, yeah, they need some people to help them out in the field doing scuba diving, which is I like to do. And I just started week a year, just kind of dabbling in it. And I found after a couple of years of that I was at my best. And how I thought, how I acted, how I felt about myself when I was exploring. And so I guess the message was, I still had a little kid in me. And I said, well, what? And so you sort of had to retire. You say, well, a lot of people save money for retirement. Why wouldn't I start to save experiences? You know, there's experiences I want, right? And you start making those small investments. And I'm honestly, as I think I mentioned earlier to you, John, when we were talking a week or so ago, I'm really enjoying being a little kid again, just because I can. And I'll leave it there for now.
No, that is amazing. In fact, I'm going to write that down. You know, what you just said is that we save money for retirement. Why not save experiences for retirement? I mean, that kind of says it all, because, you know, I mean, just in your case, you're a marine biologist, and it took you 15 years into your high-tech career to realize, hey, it's okay for me to build, you know, renew that muscle again of my exploration and my curiosity. You didn't turn around and change your career back into marine biology. You stayed in what you were doing, but you decided to prioritize. And I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but what I'm hearing is that you decided to shift a little bit and allow yourself to take the stuff that you find joy in, take the stuff that you're passionate about, and make that part of your life, make that part of your work life, you know, as a hobby.
Yeah. And there's no reason to do that. There's actually a secondary effect, which I didn't really think about until just now when you're talking, is that I also found at the time when I started into this, switching my vacations from just going somewhere to going somewhere with a purpose, right? And they're very, very selfish, right? I'm going to do this. I'm working for helping somebody out, but I'm also letting my mind wander and explore within the ocean. It actually had secondary benefits at work, both in terms of how you come back, and you refresh. But I remember talking to my peers, to my management, about the experience. All of a sudden, there was this recognition that there's more to what, in my case, what Ken's thinking about than just latest technology, the most recent customer, but there's a curiosity. I'm trying to patch things together, looking for analogies. All in the back of my mind, I have these, because I was in the data space. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about data in this very complex world that's very important to the civilization and culture over time. And there were some secondary benefits, because people saw an edge of me at work that's a little bit more exposed, but saw that you were thinking about something else. And it actually ended up with some really interesting conversations with interesting people. It did not hurt my career at all. If nothing else, it helped.
Fascinating. Fascinating. You know, one of the things that I struggled with my entire life was prioritizing things, right? And my priorities, work always seemed to come first. It always seemed to come first. And as I look back on my life, I wish I would have prioritized things a little bit differently. A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who you know, his name is David. He gave me a metaphor one day, and he says, "You know what, John? the time in your life, every day that you have, think of it as a cup. Okay, so kind of envision a cup. And envision rocks, pebbles, and sand. So the rocks are things that are big priorities in your life. You know, it's your family, it's work, spending time and doing the things that you love and curiosity, whatever it is. If it's important to you to have a nice white wash car all the time, great, that's a rock. And then you have the pebbles that are of a little less priority. And then you have the sand, which is just stuff that happens, you know, and stuff that you do. He says, you know what you're doing, John? I said, what am I doing? He says, you're putting the sand in first. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, you're living your life to where you're reacting to stuff that happens. And that's sand. He says, and then when you figure things out, you start putting some pebbles in there. And by the time you're done with it, you don't have any room for rocks, right? He says, put the rocks in first. Put the rocks in first. And then you put the pebbles in. And then the pebbles kind of work their way around the rocks, right? And then they fill themselves around the rocks. And then you put the sand in. And the sand fills itself within the pebbles. And then you know you got your priorities right. And I wish I knew that. And not only did I wish I knew, note, I wish I knew that, I wish I actually internalized that idea, right? And some of the things that you and I have spoken about, I've spoken about on a previous podcast, is rebuilding that muscle of curiosity, right? Because, you know, when we're children, we're so curious, and then our parents and our friends and life just knocks it the heck out of our spirit. And, you know, we say, that's a stupid question, or why are you thinking that way? Right. And by the time we get to a certain age, we're afraid to be curious. We're afraid to ask why. We're afraid to ask questions. Right. And building back that curiosity, I think, is really important.
Yeah. And you have to, I couldn't agree more. And it's really fun. And to take off that expectation that as you grow older, you're supposed to know all these things, and just a delight in the fact of not knowing something or trying something figured out. You put it that, you know, obviously family and the people you care for, all these things. But if I think of the experience that are just amazing is when you drive, I'm driving home from the, driving home to the beach, driving home from diving or something like this, and you're thinking about what you saw and you realize you might be the first person to ever really put these things together. And it's just, you know, you've just figuring out something. I once worked with an artist. She's still a very close friend, artist who was also in high tech. And she had also about 15, 20 years into her career realized that her artwork and her career didn't have to be separate things. And infusing art and how you communicate visually and emotionally in our job, which was help our customers understand things, was very effective. And you get off that standard path of what you're supposed to put in a PowerPoint, all of a sudden you just start drawing pictures.
That's amazing. And
people can kind of say, again, back to my point, is that just because the world says, here's the way you're supposed to act, you're supposed to work 60-hour weeks, whatever you're supposed to lie here. And every now and then you say, well, I can't do that. I'm going to go scuba diving and have no cell coverage for a week and deal with it. And people adjust and they're curious and they ask questions about, and then sometimes those analogies, whether it be artwork or biology, can drift back into your work environment and make you better.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And you and I have seen that time and time and time again, where people bring in their experiences from other disciplines and other parts of their lives and make them better at what they do. And to your point, Ken, you know, my son and I took a rafting trip down the middle of the Grand Canyon. There is no cell service at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and you don't have cell service for a week. And you know what? Somehow, some way, the world kept spinning. I don't know how it kept spinning without me, but it did, right? And everybody knew. And what an amazing experience. And you know what? I came out of that trip refreshed, with a clear mind, and just I was able to fulfill my sense of curiosity as to what the heck it was like at the bottom of that thing. We saw rock formations that were billions of years old. It was crazy. And And but you can only see that at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. So my point being, right, you do the things you want to do. You do the things that give you joy, and it makes you better. It really makes you better, you know.
So I guess that's the message, right? Is that it shouldn't take 15 years. Maybe the hope is that it shouldn't take everybody 15 years to realize that. You know, you look back and say, am I different than what I was when I was a little kid?
Or it shouldn't take them until they retire.
Yeah, and you should. And even if it did, I can't imagine going to retirement not having a sense of what you want to explore and do, whether it be your art, your religion, your community, the environment,
yes,
the grassy field in your backyard, there are bugs living in it. Sometimes you just have to unleash that inner child. And I wish I'd done it sooner, but I'm glad I did. And here I am having the time of my life.
You know, Ken, you retired as a data guy. You were an architect at Microsoft. You worked at T-Mobile. You worked at all different kinds of places, amazing, big, big companies. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball and just talk just for a moment about your views on artificial intelligence. I just had a conversation, a podcast that we did a couple of weeks ago, with a colleague of mine that I worked with at Expedia. And, you know, he decided that when ChatGPT came out, and I'm mentioning this to you because you are a data guy, right? But when ChatGPT came out, he wasn't a data guy. But he just got curious. He just got curious about what it could do. And he learned that, you know, for the first time, technology is not complicated. That technology with artificial intelligence is simply learning how to ask questions. And I wanted to ask your view on that, because I see that AI is such can offer such an amazing opportunity for folks that learn it. And one of the things that David was saying is that it's not AI that's going to take your job. It's somebody else who knows AI that's going to replace you, right? And so as an expert in data, do you have any views on that?
Yes. I guess I'll start with an analogy first to basically make the point that AI is just another tool. I grew up when I started high school, when we still had slide rules, and we had to learn how to use slide rules. For those who have never used a slide rule, it's a mechanical device, an ingenious mechanical device.
Look it up on Google, slide rule.
Yeah. And they were replaced. They were replaced by calculators, you know, the press buttons you would have thought the world was going to come to an end because it's going to replace people. The role of a simple calculator all of a sudden changed. Kids can take these calculators and use them on a test. It changed the way everything. You can do your homework faster. Point was, it allows you to answer questions fast, bigger questions faster. The same thing happens if you look at the evolution of computers. Tools will always get smarter and smarter because smart people are building things. And the whole intent is to make us more productive. Therefore, the only value you have is intellectually, can I use AI to answer even bigger questions? So I have two more comments. So if I reel back what I'm working on, I'll use an ocean example. That's what I understand. The systems, these ecosystems, a kelp bed, a rocky reef, what have you, are incredibly complex. And think animals eat other animals. They compete with other animals for space. Storms happen. People come and fish and kill off a bunch of animals. Mm-hmm. And so the changes that happen are also complex. And you think of millions of things all connected together. How else would one person be able to think about that without assistance? This is what AI is going to do. So one of my projects now is I'm building essentially Facebook for a kelp reef. Right. Basically, if you think of the animals as who eats who lives where, who's competing with somebody else, all these kinds of things what we see in our social networks can be applied to the animals in a kelp bed. Obviously, it's harder to get the data, but the same knowledge of linking everything together and then saying, well, what would happen if a big storm came along? What would happen if the water temperature went up to 2 degrees? Using technology and data and AI is going to be a cornerstone. there's no way I can solve the problems of a huge kelp reef without some tool helping. It allows me to answer bigger questions. And my final point is it all comes down to data. AI is only good as the data has to work. Yeah, it can work on.
Yeah.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out. If it, so it's underscored the need for a foundation of, if you will, foundation of really, really good data. So your AI has something to work with.
Okay, so you just kind of blew the top of my head off with some complicated terms like data.
Facebook for kelp bed usually okay, is.
So we're going to dumb this down for John, okay? Yeah. Because the way that I look at AI is that AI can help with those massively. I mean, an ocean ecosystem. Give me a break, Ken. Okay, so AI can help with that. But my impression of AI is that it's also easy to use, that a normal, regular person who's not a genius and not a marine scientist as you can use it. And, you know, David had shown a website business that he created, where he created his logo with AI. He created his entire website homepage with AI. He created the descriptions of what he does with AI. And my impression of AI from that conversation was that anybody can do it.
Yeah. And so I should have, you went to where I should have started. If you go back to your 8-year-old kid on the beach.
There you go.
You may have a cell phone. They can go to the beach. They can dig a hole and find something in it. They can borrow their parent's cell phone, take a picture of it. They can go to iNaturalist that afternoon. And AI will tell them exactly what that animal was. And they can ask, should be able to ask a question, chat, GPT, whatever. Say, how many of these? Where do these live? What are they like? And AI sits in front of all this complexity. People have been gathering data. People, you know, all decades of scientists, decades of other people looking at worms on the beach have all contributed to this. And AI allows an 8-year-old to be curious and answer every question, you know. When I was 8, my parents couldn't answer all the questions I have. But you know, on the edge where there can be this assistive insight suggestion. Think about little kids in South Africa being able to contribute to marine science. Hey, I saw a snail on the beach today. And something says, oh, that snail's never been seen there before. It's not dumbing down. It's simply providing tools so that in that case, an 8-year-old can be truly curious and expand and have an impact.
And with this theme of growing that curiosity muscle, we're talking about 8-year-olds. I want 28-year-olds to rebuild that curiosity muscle. I want 38-year-olds and 48-year-olds and 58-year-olds. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And that's all within reach and makes the world smaller and allows people to find people who think like they, these aren't tools just to answer economic, transactional sales questions.
Right.
These allow you to freely explore a world that you may not be able to go to beach in Seattle but you can find out about it. And just like I can find about the grasslands of Iowa. You know, so I'd like to think as these done right, these tools allow people to be themselves and discover and have obviously there's things you can be worried about with AI, but a general principle, if something can sit on top of the data we have and help connect people, that's fantastic. And it'll only accelerate how we think and the questions we can answer.
You just uncovered for me, Ken, a cornerstone for my podcast, and that is AI. And the reason I just realized with what you just said that AI can really help us be better, right? Help us learn more faster, be better people, to connect with the world better, and one of the things that's really, really cool about it is that AI encourages and to a certain extent requires curiosity, right? And being able to utilize AI without being told that's a stupid question in some ways it's a game changer, really.
You know, and even the simple, well, so the whole philosophy is AI doesn't rule you, you rule AI, right? Is it you're who's in charge? And the second is you, at whatever age, you have to know, because I can guarantee it, there's somebody else in Slovenia, South Africa, Taiwan, who thinks more than you, and they may think just like you, same kind of interests, happen to speak a different language in a different time zone, but you can get as close, they can be your next door neighbor practically. And
right.
If you use it to the good purposes,
yes,
and talk about that, that will soon wash over all the potential, oh my God, sky is falling, bad things that can happen. It's a tool.
Yep.
Use it as such and have fun.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, you were there when Aman Bhutani told me that my superpower was asking questions nobody else wanted to ask. And, you know, I thought to myself at that time, I thought, that's a weird superpower, right? And I'm like, gee, was that an insult or what was that? You know, my superpower is asking being able to ask the questions no one else wants to ask. And you know what? I realized that that's part of my curiosity. That's part of my curiosity, is that I'm not afraid to ask the questions, because my curiosity kind of trumps that fear of asking those questions. The other part of it is that I'm not afraid to say what everybody else is afraid to say either.
and that somebody like Aman Bhutani recognizes that as a positive attribute, something that's unique and valued, says a lot as well. It's what the world needs. We may say we don't want it. We may try, work maybe structured and to avoid it, but there's room for it, and it's absolutely necessary for us to grow as people and as civilization.
Yep, absolutely. And so, oh my gosh. So, folks, like I said, AI and encouraging folks to learn AI, learn ChatGPT, learn, because it's a matter of learning how to ask questions. And again, it's a tool that where you can exercise your curiosity and grow your curiosity, because the answers to the questions you're going to ask it are going to create more questions, right? And you just keep doing. Oh my gosh, I just, because I've been one of those people, Ken, who've been one of those doom and gloom people. Of, oh my gosh, what's AI going to do to the world? How's it going to change us? It's the end of the world as we know it. But you and I just uncovered something that if we use AI properly and we're encouraging people to use AI properly, what an amazing way to make a better world, an amazing way and a fun way and an interesting way and a way that can enrich people's lives. And that's awesome. So thank you. I know that this whole artificial intelligence topic was off what you were thinking about sharing, but I wanted to get your views on it, because you are an expert. You're beyond an expert in data, and hearing from you was just wonderful.
It was an absolute pleasure. Always enjoy the conversations, and I hope people find it useful.
Yeah, and so you guys, the takeaways from here. Prioritize your life, right?
Hug a starfish. Hug a starfish.
Hug a starfish?
Yeah. <Sorry. laughs>
There you go. Don't wait until 15 years into your career or your retirement even, to do the things you want to do the things you're passionate about doing, to do the things you love and you find joy in. Because you know what? And remember that analogy of the time of your life being a cup. Every day you got a cup. And in your life, you've got rocks, you got pebbles, you got sand. And put the rocks in first, right? Prioritize the big stuff that's important to you and make that stuff happen. Because, as Ken and I were just talking about, you do those things, it's going to make you better. It's going to make you better. You're going to be able to apply that joy and the things that you learn from your explorations to whatever it is you're doing. And I'll tell you, at this point in my life, being 62 years old, I wish I not only understood this many, many years ago, but I wish that even if I understood it, that I internalized it. And I can't even imagine what my life would be like now. So as you think about saving for retirement, think about saving up experiences for your retirement as well. Okay, Ken, this has been wonderful. I love you. You've been my friend forever. You're going to continue to be my friend forever, whether you want to be my friend or not. And thank you for joining us. And thank you for sharing part of your life.
Always a treat to talk with you, John. This is fantastic. Wonderful.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, folks, hopefully you've learned. Share this. let other folks know. Send this episode off to other people so that they can learn from it as well. Okay. So with that, Ken, thank you again. I love you. See you next time. Bye.